this will take too long. The thought the Lord gave me was very simple. The title, Get Up. And the Lord and his dealings with me, and he had to tell me to get up. It's never been in an angry tone, I guess you would say. There's been some moments that he's had to get a little stern with me to get up. But I was thinking, probably most of us, I guess most probably everybody, has at least one point in their life rode a bike. And I don't know who taught you to ride your bike, but my dad was the one who taught me how to ride my bike, and part of that was one day, it's time for those training wheels to come off, and it's time to ride. You can only use training wheels for so long before it's time to learn how to ride, and I remember how my dad taught me is he'd run along behind for a little bit, and then go, pedal, and there was some wrecks that happened. Now, if my dad would have wrecked and would have come over and started, why did you wreck? Get up and try again. No, it was more of, okay, yeah, I understand that hurt. Let's brush the gravel out of your knee. And, you know, it'll get better in a little bit, but let's keep trying. Let's keep at it. Keep getting on the bike. Keep trying. That's how I have seen my God, the one that we sang about last night so many times. The songs last night were songs of confidence and victory. It's kind of what I picked up on last night, as I felt like on the winning side. There's another one we sang about, it's close to me now, but songs of strength and confidence in our God, that he's going to be the one to, I think it was the one that Andrew and the children sang about the storms running out of rain. He's the one who's in control of all those things.
Yes, he is.
And he's the one who, he's the same God that I can go read stories in the Old Testament all the way through to Revelations, and he's the same God, the same Father that blessed these same people. Because it's really easy for me, maybe I'm the only one, but it's really easy for me to read this and remove reality from it. That it's just another, because the world wants us to look at this as this is a storybook or a book of fables. And it's really easy to let that happen. It's really easy to remove reality from this, that these were real people. John was a real person. Joshua was a real person.
Yes.
These things happened. They really happened. And we have to believe that for this, for salvation, to even, for us to be able to accept salvation. But I want to touch on a thought, specifically when I say the title is Get Up. Maybe weekends like this, camp meetings, it's easy to feel really blessed while you're here. It's really, really easy to feel like we've really got something. So I wanted to kind of tie this into something with Joshua. Joshua, y'all forgive me, one of my contacts messed up, so I'm only got one good eye right now. I think it's Joshua 5 and 13. This is right before or right after the Israelites had come over into the Canaan land, and now they're fixing to start conquering cities. And Jericho was the next one up. And it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Then, from there on, I'm not going to read it, but from chapter 6, he gives Joshua the battle plan, how we're going to take care of this. But the thing that stuck out to me, it goes right along with the song we sang last night. He said, Are you for us or for our adversaries? And the captain of the Lord's host said, Oh, well, I'm neither one. I am, this is who I am. I'm the captain of the Lord's host, and this is what I came to do. It made me think of the song we sang last night about being on the winning side. It's not about God being on our side, whether or not we're on his.
Amen.
But he went through, and Joshua got the battle plan for Jericho, and reading this chapter and reading the next chapter doesn't seem like Joshua really had much of a problem with that battle plan. He believed that, okay, if that's what you said for me to do, then we're going to do it. And I'm going to go forward. I saw what Moses was able to do. I saw what you did when we crossed the river. I saw all the miracles that you did. So that's fine. We're going to go through with it. Then they went and they took the city of Jericho. And that all went pretty well, went according to plan. But then they went to try to take the city of Ai. And things did not go according to plan. They lost some men. The men had to retreat and come back. And this is where I want to get back to the story, where Joshua went before the ark, and he fell on his face, and it says he was there until evening. And the Lord let him stay there until evening. But then when the Lord came to him finally, he said, and the Lord said to Joshua, this is Joshua 7 and 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Joshua, it's time. You've been here. I've seen you here laid in front of the altar. And rightly so. You came to the right place. You came, laid out in front of the altar before the at that time, that was where the emblem of the presence of God was. So he came to be in the presence of God, but he was there with his face to the ground until evening, trying to figure out why did this all go wrong? And you read this, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth. And he said, why, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us again into the hand of the Amorites? You brought us over here, and it's almost like he's already kind of forgotten about Jericho. You brought us over here, and now this is what's going to happen. Little old AI is going to take advantage of us. And when the Lord came to him, he said, get up. It's Joshua, there's a problem here. It's not that I abandoned you. It's not that I'm not able to take care of Ai or all these other cities, but there's an issue here. There's a problem in the camp. And the whole experience of the children of Israel is an example or a shadow, I guess you'd say, of our lives. Yes, this was a whole group of people, but there was sin in the camp, and there was some sin that happened during one of the victories that they had. And to me, it would be real easy, and this is, you read between the lines here, that's kind of what happened. They got real confident after they left Jericho. They went to go look at Ai, and they say, look, don't even need to take all of our men. Let's send some of them back, let them stay home, and we'll just take a few of us, and we'll go take this little city. We've got this. We took care of Jericho. There's no issue here. And then they fell flat on their face. And my burden this morning would be for us that when we leave places like this, when we leave camp meetings, when we leave, even a Sunday morning, it's really easy to feel really blessed while we're here. But it's also really easy to lose sight of the victories, lose sight of the power that lies within us through Jesus Christ that we've been hearing about all weekend long. There's power to have, and it's so easy for us to get distracted and lose sight of that. Lose sight of what is it that the Lord actually has me here to do? Not to, well, Lord, help that I get this thought out. When Joshua fell on his face before the ark, he was at a loss. He didn't know, Lord, why have you abandoned us? Why have you led us here? We just came across, we did this, you helped us with this mighty victory. And now you've left us here. You're going to leave us here to be turned over to the hands of the Amorites. And with love, the Lord comes to him and said, Joshua, just like I think of when my dad would get me up off the ground with my bike, said, get up, Joshua. It's time to deal with this like a man. This is what's going to have to happen. You've got sin in your camp. Something was taken that didn't belong. There's something that's in your life, and I'm going to bring it to us. There's something in your life that shouldn't be there. You let it in. There's something here in one of your tents, and I'm going to bring that down to our hearts. There's something. Well, I'm going to tell a little personal story. Probably a couple years ago, the Lord had been dealing with me on something that wasn't a sin in itself. But it was something that the Lord had been asking me to let go of. Something that he would like for me to not spend so much time doing. And I will just say I didn't really listen. I kept doing the thing that the Lord was asking me to give up. Like I said, it wasn't a sin, but it was something the Lord had asked for me to give up for him, or at least spend less time doing. And I didn't. And I kept doing what I wanted to do. And I remember one day, I had a really bad day. It was a really bad day. Just everything about the day just was not good at all. From the moment I got up to the moment I got home, and I didn't understand what was going on. And the Lord visited me and basically let me know that he had actually pulled his spirit back and said, I just wanted you to see, if you keep going the direction that you're going, if you keep pushing past and not giving up the very thing I'm asking you to give up, I will have to pull my spirit away from you. I'll have to remove my spirit from you, and you're going to live without me in your life. And that was an eye-opening experience, because he saw fit in his mercy to temporarily remove his spirit from my life and let me experience that feeling for a day. And I'm so thankful that he didn't just leave me out to dry. I'm so thankful he's a loving father that he was willing to come back to me and say, now, get up and go do what I said. Because that was one of the moments where he had to get a little hard with me. That it wasn't, it was always with love, but sometimes, I think y'all kind of understand, you probably had those moments with your father or a parent that say, okay, you know they still love you, but it's time now. There's no games now. Get up and do exactly what I told you to do. And I see that with Joshua here in the Lord. He's not getting onto him necessarily. He said, why are you lying on your face? Get up. And he goes through the description of, you know, get up, sanctify the people, and sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. And so, they did have to go do a pretty difficult thing. They had to go find the man who did this, and his entire family was stolen, I believe is what ended up happening with Achan. One of the things that the Lord had placed on my heart regarding this story, this account, is that the thing that happened with me, the devil was quick to jump on. Well, he's the master at eavesdropping. He knows what the Lord is telling us to. He knows when the Lord has asked something of us, he's aware of what is going on in our lives. And his goal is to get, he may not try to get us to just fall completely off the rock, but what he's going to do is start inserting things like, well, you don't really have to completely give that up, or you don't really have to fully follow what he just said. You can actually still do this and still be technically following what God asked you to do. Be careful. When the enemy comes in, he loves to get us resigned to the fact that failures just kind of happen all the time. And we're human. We heard about what Brother Marty talking about this morning. If we had I need a whole lot more than seven opportunities, Brother Marty. I need a lot more than seven opportunities, because the Lord has had, I feel like I need seven opportunities in one day. But we're going to make mistakes. We're human. But the devil would love for us to resign and settle for much less than what the Lord has available for us. Yes. And I was on track for that. I was on track for settling for much less because I wasn't willing to follow a simple instruction from the Lord to say, Jared, I'm asking, would you please let me have that? Would you please be willing to step away from that for me just so I can spend a little more time with you because I want that time. If you're willing to step, he wasn't going to force me either. That's the thing about the Lord. He didn't force me to say yes. But he did, in his mercy, let me know what the consequences were going to be if I didn't. One of the other accounts in the scriptures I'd like to go to is in 1 Kings. This is Elijah. You might know where I'm going with this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I think it's in the 19th chapter. This was when Elijah was kind of feeling sorry for himself. He had just also... Well, first off, y'all recognize a pattern with these two men? They had both recently witnessed a mighty miracle of the Lord. And here they are. And that gives me much encouragement that I'm not the only one that has felt that. Sometimes I felt ashamed that after the Lord gives such a mighty blessing in our lives that I'm so quick to get back to the bottom again and feel like the Lord is, Lord, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? But I read this, and I kind of identify with Elijah here. He said in verse 10, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And then this is where the Lord caused the wind, and the fire, and the earthquake to happen. Then he asked, I think this is where he asked Elijah again. I've lost my place of where it's at. Where he said, y'all bear with me for a second. Well, I think that's where I was trying to go, actually. Verse 10, where he basically laid out his complaint to the Lord. And because I think the Lord had asked him, why are you here? I've kind of lost my place.
That's
verse 13. Yes, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous. He went to the whole spiel again. He said that everybody is against me. I'm the only one of your people left. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Here I am. And I've been there too. I think we probably all have. But the answer that the Lord gives, he doesn't say, oh, poor Elijah. I feel so sorry for you. He just says, Elijah, come here. Now go. And he gave him a list of things to go do. He didn't sit there and coddle him and say, Elijah, poor Elijah. He said, Elijah, number one, you're not the only one left. I got 7,000 other people, I think is what he said. And then he gave him some tasks to go do. He said, here, this is what I want you to go do. Get up and let's go do some things. Let's get this done. Don't sit around and let the devil cause you to wallow in your self-pity. Because that is really easy to do. We can lose sight of the victories that we have had. I think that's what struck me so much about these two accounts, is that both of these men had just been through a mighty miracle. One had just seen walls fall down, and then the other one had seen fire come down from heaven and burn up sacrifice, rocks, water, and everything. And then I think it was also when the rain came, right? Because that's the same time when the rain, he witnessed the rain come, and then he outran chariots. He had just seen several things happen, and he was so quick to get back to this point. And I can't throw any stones at him because I've done the same thing. I have been to the same place where I lose sight of the things we were singing about last night. When we've been with Jesus, that the storms run out of rain. When I've been with Jesus, the things that should bother me don't. Sometimes we can get to that point where we realize that I'm down on my face, feeling sorry for myself, woe is me, and I've lost track. And Lord, help me that when He comes, pat me on the shoulder, say, hey, let's get up. Let's get up and let's keep going. That I'll be able to be willing to get up and do the hard thing. To be willing to, well, Elijah had to go, and I think this is where he was told to go find Elisha, and he was going to, basically Elisha was going to literally pick up the mail from him. We serve that same God. We serve that same God who was willing to come demonstrate to Elijah that I'm God. The earthquake, the wind, the fire, all those things, that's amazing things. But then he spoke to him in a small voice and said, Elijah, by the way, you're not alone. And I love you. Now let's go. Let's stop sitting up here and let's go. I want to encourage each one of you. I have grown up coming here. We were talking earlier. I don't know when was the first time that I came here, but I'm pretty sure I've been coming here my entire life. I don't know, Julie, I think I've been here since I was a baby. And I have lots of good memories here. This has been almost a second home congregation for me because we've been here many, many, many times. I don't think I've missed very many singings that I've been alive for. We used to come here multiple times during the year, and this place holds a very special spot in my heart, and I love it here, and I love y'all, and I have a burden for God's people that when we do start losing confidence, when we do start feeling alone or feeling like maybe we're the only one who cares anymore, or maybe we're the only one who cares about moving the church forward, or maybe we're the only ones who care about keeping this going, that the Lord is there to say, get up. It's just a little while longer. Just keep going. Just keep going. I've got you. Just remember back, we don't have literal Jerichos and fire falling from heaven, but each one of us has something in our lives that I know. Actually, Brother Marty brought a message a while back in one of our camp meetings, and one thing that stuck out to me was he's talking about when the Lord does something special for each one of us, that's something that not a single one of you can take away from me. When the Lord visits me and talks to me, I don't care, and then I'm not saying this with an attitude towards y'all, I don't care what any one of you say, you can't take that from me. You can't take that visit from the Lord. Maybe I can't manufacture it, I can't even recreate it. But not a single one of you can take it away from me. And that's something that we have to hold on to. That we serve that same God that parted the waters, that created all of this, the one that paused physics to make the sun go backwards, make the sun stand still, that made water stand up on end, that the very God that multiplied, well, one of the very basic things you learn in school is that nothing, you can't create anything from nothing. But 5,000 people, or men plus the women and children, witnessed that when Jesus created, right there, it was just a few fish and some bread, and he created something out of nothing. So many things we read, and it's so easy to make this become just a book of stories and remove the reality from it. Yes. To remove that those things actually happen.
Yes.
And to recognize that that's the same God that visited me and talked to me personally on my way to work, or that personally answered my prayer, or that personally gave me a scripture or a song. And to each one, it may come to you differently. The Lord speaks to each one of us in different ways. He speaks to me a lot through nature. He speaks to me a lot through animals and that may not even compute with some of you. But that he speaks to me that way, he's the same God for all of us. He's the same God that created this earth. I like to go outside and look at the creation, look at the stars, and it amazes me that I get to serve him, that I get to have that conversation with him. I get to have a constant relationship with him. And I'll say this, whenever we are maybe riding our bike, and he's there trying to teach us how to ride, and we're wobbling and falling over, and we wobble a little bit and we fall this way, and we go a little further and we wobble and fall over again, that he is also just like a literal dad. He's a cheerleader too. Boy, you made it farther that time. You almost had it. You go, look, if you get on one more time, I think you got it. That has been my experience with the Lord. It's whenever he says to get up, it's not typically, like I said, there's some times when he's had to get stern with me, but it's usually an encouraging, hey, get up, get up. You almost had it that time. Look, you may fall again, but look, you made it further than you did last time. And then you get up and you go farther and you keep trying, you keep trying, and that gives you confidence that the next time he's asking you to do something, that, hey, he believes I can do it. That I've seen especially young boys, that whenever their dad says, hey, you know what, I think you can do that, that puts a confidence in a little boy for some reason, that, man, my dad believes I can do it, so I'm going to give it a shot. And they will. They'll give it everything they've got. And they may fall flat on their face several times, but that hand in their back and the encouragement that says, you almost had it again that time. Get up and try again. I'm just encouraging each one of y'all and myself. When you stumble, when you fall, get up and try again. That verse, I think I have it written down. I don't have the verse, but the one in Proverbs 24. What does it say? A righteous man falls seven times, something like that. But the fool, every time you're going up, he says the righteous man falls. I think it's in, let's read it. It's Proverbs 24, I believe.
16.
Is it 16?
24 and 16.
Yeah, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Just man falls seven times, but each time he gets up and he keeps on going. Dust off his breeches, dust off his knees, and tries it again. And that's what the Lord wants to see us do, is get up, try again, try to figure out what it is that caused the issue, and you keep going. Y'all pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Amen.